Hi, it's Dave. So how do you know if a company is overvalued or undervalued, especially when a company doesn't have any profits right now? Perhaps it's growing fast. How do you project what the company's gonna be worth a few years down the road? In this video, I'm gonna share one of the most important skills I think any investor can have, and that's the ability to quickly calculate a projected valuation on a company using simple napkin math. All right, I think at the core of being a great investor is to have the skill and an exceptional ability to be able to value companies. Because at the core of investing, it's actually about being able to buy a company right now or a portion of the company that will be worth significantly more in the future. And the success of an investor typically depends on two things. One is the gap between the valuation that you bought, let's say, the company at right now versus the valuation at which the company will be valued at in the future. And the second factor is how consistently and how reliably you can actually reproduce those kinds of investment decisions. Now, I think generally speaking, for most people who don't have, let's say, the time or energy or focus to devote on developing exceptional abilities to, let's say, value companies, for those people, I think it's probably wiser to invest in something more diversified, let's say like an index fund, or let's say in a completely different asset class. Because picking individual stocks can be very volatile and it can be risky as well. Oftentimes, the fortunes of the company really depend on how well the company executes, not just right now, but well into the future. And oftentimes with growth companies, there's a lot of the future growth that's priced into the company right now. So let's say you pick a growth company, invest in it, thinking that it's going to grow. And let's say it does grow, but it just doesn't grow as fast as what people might have expected it. Then you could see the stock price actually be flat or go down over time. So it's not just about, let's say, picking the right company. It's about picking the right company at the right valuation. And that goes back to the skills and abilities to value a company, not just right now, but let's say going forward as well. A lot of times you'll hear about a hot company, something that everyone's investing in or it's being talked about and you want to get in just because you're scared of missing out. Or you have a friend who says, hey, this stock looks good, why don't you buy it? And you don't really know how to do the research. You don't really want to, let's say, go into it and try to value the company because it can be complex. So you just want to say, okay, fine, I'll just buy it. So you go ahead and you just stick some money into that stock. And so for most people, actually, stock investing is just kind of like stock picking. It's just like gambling at a horse race. You hear a bunch of names and maybe you do a little bit of looking into what this company does, but you don't really go into the deep analysis of how to value this company right now, 3 years down and 5 years down the road. And this is especially risky in growth investing because for a lot of companies who are quote unquote growth companies, their growth actually isn't forever, meaning there's a period where actually it dies down. And oftentimes these growth companies and their stock valuations actually decrease over time. And people can incur a big loss because they put too much money into it or they kept it too long and they weren't able to get out. I think at the core of it was in the beginning when they first made the decision, let's say to invest in that company, they didn't do the full complete kind of analysis of whether this company is worth investing in or not. If you're new to this channel, I encourage you to subscribe. We're looking at investment topics from a deeper angle. We're not trying to follow the herd, but we're trying to develop our own quantitative and qualitative analysis skills so we can look at a company and we can value the company, what it's worth right now, but also going forward. And in this video, I want to talk about what I think is probably one of the most important skills to value a company. That is kind of a quantitative skill of napkin math. And what I mean by napkin math is like you just have like a napkin or a small piece of paper and you're able to write down different numbers and come up with a valuation for something. Warren Buffett says that you should be able to describe why you're investing in a company in a simple one-page, let's say, piece of paper. However, I'll take that a bit further. And I think you need to actually describe in a one-piece paper or even smaller, like the quantitative reason and the qualitative reasons why you're investing in this company. I think there are four main questions or things you need to answer. The first thing is, why is this product far superior than anything else in its category? And how can that company defend that superiority over time? The second question is this company addressing a large and growing market? The third question is, does this company have world-class execution and innovation? And I'm not just talking about, let's say, top 10 or 20%. I'm talking about, does this company really have, let's say, a top 1% in terms of execution and innovation? They need to be able to go head to head with the best companies in the world. And the fourth question is, does this company have a clear and probable path to a 10x valuation in 5 to 10 years? Now, this investment criteria, these four questions are personal to me. They're my own personal approach in investing. And your approach and your values and goals can be very different. But for me, when I'm looking at a company, these are the four questions I'm looking at. And probably the key and the most important question is, does this company have a clear and probable path to 10x valuation in 5 to 10 years? In order to answer this question, there needs to be actually a bit of quantitative analysis, because you kind of have to have an idea of what the company should be valued right now, because sometimes actually the market is not giving per se perhaps the correct valuation of the company even at this moment. And you need to know that what the valuation is going to be a few years and several years down the road, or what it could be. And that's going to impact your view on whether this company has a clear and probable path to a 10x valuation within 5 to 10 years. And coming up with valuations is not an exact science. In fact, it's kind of like science and art kind of mixed together. What you're trying to find out is how much am I willing to buy the business outright right now, but also how much do I think it's going to be worth, let's say, 3, 4, 5, or 6 years, 7 years down the road. And there are a lot of factors involved, but I think maybe probably the two key factors is number one, growth. Like, how fast is this company growing their revenues? And at what point will their revenue start to taper down, or will their revenues grow continually, say for 10 or 15, 20 years? This is important because their growth of revenue is gonna affect all the other metrics like margins and operating profits and everything that you need to value a company. The second factor is kind of like the multiple that you're willing to give based upon their annual operating profits. And both of these factors, the growth of revenue and also the multiple that people are willing and you are willing to give for that company, is actually quite fluid. And there's actually a lot of angles and skills that I think are required in order to correctly project these two factors. And I think for a lot of people, they underestimate the complexity and the difficulty that is involved in investing for outsized gains. It's easy to invest to keep up with the market. You just invest in a low-cost index fund, right? And you'll match what the market returns. But what's difficult is actually to have outsized gains compared to the market. And in order to do that, you need to have exceptional skills which aren't easy to acquire. However, I believe that these skills can be acquired, and with the right amount of focus and diligence and with the right amount of guidance, these skills can be cultivated. Now, one of these skills, and it's a very important part of the toolbox, is the ability to quickly value a company using napkin math. What I mean by napkin math is you don't have spreadsheets out, like you don't have a computer, you don't have like annual reports or even quarterly reports. You just kind of have it in front of you, a piece of paper, and you're able to work out the big numbers of the company and come up with some type of valuation for the company going forward. I personally think for every company you invest in, you really need to know that company well enough where you can actually just off the cuff be able to write down their key numbers and give a case of their valuation. Now, the first thing you want to do is you don't want to use napkin math, let's say, to justify what you think the company is worth based upon your emotions or what other people think. And what's even worse is you don't want to look at some article or some price target that somebody out there is pitching that, let's say, is very high, and then use napkin math to try to justify that price target. Rather, you want to have kind of a blank market cap or price target in your head. You don't want anything in your head to bias your opinion, let's say, of that company's market cap. You want the company's market cap to be developed from the numbers itself, not from like outside bias. For most people, they're gonna fail right here because they got this emotional connection or emotional attachment to the investments that they have. They want their investments to go up so much that they're gonna bias, right, their calculations from the very get-go. And this is where detachment, right, having an emotional detachment from your investments and emotional detachment from analysis is really gonna be helpful. All right, the second thing you're doing is you're trying to calculate revenue. And the way you calculate revenue is basically you wanna take the units that the company is selling and times it by their average sales price. Now, this can have different variations because other companies might have different business models. This video, we're gonna use Tesla as an example with our napkin math calculations. In the case of Tesla, I'm looking for revenue projections, let's say 1 or 2 years going forward. And the reason being is for a growth company, a company that's growing quite fast, you don't wanna look backwards because no investor is really gonna look backwards and give valuation. They're always looking forward in some ways. However, looking 3, 4, 5 years forward, most big money investors, they're very practical and they have a quantitative side as well. They're not really looking at 4, 5, 6 years down the road as something to count on. Rather, they're looking at more something closer term that has some clear visibility, meaning what's 80 to 90% likely gonna happen. I think a 5-year target in terms of revenue and units sold and all this stuff, you don't have that 80 to 90% visibility going forward. However, with a growth company, let's say like Tesla, I think you do have that visibility in terms of what's 80 to 90% likely in a year or two. So someone might say, well, why do you do projections, say 1 to 2 years out? Why don't you just do projections on the next year, the upcoming year? And my response is, I think for high growth companies, really companies that are really growing fast, you can't just do projections for next year because these companies are in high demand. There just aren't that many high growth companies that are operating in high volume. And so for those companies, you have to go a little bit further. You have to reach out, not just what typically people might think for the next 1 year, but you have to go a little bit more out, but you don't want to go too far out because then the visibility decreases at that time. So let's say you're driving a car in a somewhat foggy situation and your headlights will give you visibility up until a certain point, let's say 400 feet out. So that's kind of the point in which you want to calculate your projections. In terms of Tesla, I think we do have kind of that visibility, let's say 1, 2, 3 years out or so. For 2020, I'm projecting Tesla to sell about 525,000 vehicles. In 2021, Tesla can sell maybe up to 800,000 vehicles. And in 2022, Tesla can sell maybe up to 1.2 million vehicles. Now I'm coming up with these stats because first, I think Elon's goal is to grow 50% year over year. But second of all, it all depends on production capacity. What is their Fremont factory able to produce? What will their Shanghai factory be able to produce, let's say this year, next year, and the following year? But also, when does their Giga Berlin factory come in and when does it start producing? And so these numbers of kind of like 525, 800, and 1.2 kind of factor in when I think the different factories will come online with different production capabilities. So for sake of this exercise, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna actually take the target in between 2021 and 2022. I'm gonna take about 1 million vehicles. And I think this is a decent target. It's not too close. It's not like just this year, and it's not too far, like 4 or 5 years down the road. Rather, it's a couple years down the road that I think we have some visibility. If there's 80 to 90% chance, I think that Tesla can deliver 1 million cars between, let's say, 2021 and 2022 calendar years. Now we're gonna use that to forecast revenue. So let's say off of 1 million vehicles, you have over 900,000, which are Model 3 and Model Y. And then let's say you have less than 100,000 that are Model S and X. Now these numbers are gonna vary, but you don't wanna get into the minute details and paralyze yourself where you're not able even to do the napkin math. So here's what we're gonna do. I think Model S and X sales are gonna be maybe like, you know, 75, 80,000, max 85,000 per year, let's say in a year or two. So let's say it's under 100,000. Model 3 and Model Y, let's say is over 900,000. What's the average sales price? I think for Model 3 and Model Y, we can conservatively say maybe they'll be about $50,000 per vehicle. Now their combined average sales price for all their vehicles is gonna be slightly higher because their Model S and X are higher priced vehicles. But just to be conservative, we won't even count that extra price. So we'll just say 50,000 across the board. Some people say, oh, that's too low. It might be higher, 53 or 54, but that's not the point of doing that good math. You wanna just kind of have these rounded numbers, but you also wanna be conservative too. I get 50,000 because I think it gives leeway for Tesla to adjust their prices. They could, let's say, lower price to increase demand a bit. But also as their autopilot gets better and let's say full self-driving actually starts to work a little bit better, then they'll probably actually get a little bit higher revenue. So actually 50,000 is probably pretty conservative. So if you have 50,000, let's say average sales price and a million vehicles, right? This is for 2021 to 2022 timeframe. That would be about $50 billion in revenue. Now, the next thing we're looking for is gross margin. I'm estimating a gross margin about 25%. And there's several reasons for this. First off, as Tesla, let's say, doubles, let's say their production, I think they're really gonna take advantage of economies of scale. They're gonna be more efficient. So I think they're gonna be able to grow their gross margin over time. Also, secondly, I think the Model Y is gonna have great margins. And Tesla has already shared that actually they could produce the Model Y at the same cost as the Model 3, but yet they can charge more for the Model Y. And lastly, autopilot just gives great margin. As more people, let's say, opt in for full self-driving option, that's gonna increase their margins. So actually 25% actually could be conservative. It could be actually higher than that. But for napkin math, we wanna be kind of conservative, 25% goes. The next thing we're looking for is gross profit. And what we do is we take the gross margin, which is 25%, times that by the revenue, which is $50 billion. And what we get is $12.5 billion in gross profit that Tesla is able to make. The next thing we're looking for to calculate in our napkin math is our operating expenses. Now we know that, let's say in the past year, Tesla's operating expenses has been about $1 billion or a little bit more than that per quarter. So it works out, let's say about $4 billion or a little bit more than that per year. In terms of projecting, let's say 2021 to 2022, let's give Tesla some leeway so they can increase their operating expenses. Let's say from like $1 billion to, let's say, $1.4 billion per quarter. Times that by four, and then you have about $5.6 billion per year of operating expenses. All right, so now we got revenue, we got gross margin, we got gross profit, we got operating expenses. Next, we wanna calculate operating profit. And what we do is we take the gross profit and just minus it by the operating expenses. And in this case, we got a gross profit of about $12.5 billion, and we wanna minus the operating expenses of about $5.6 billion. And what we get is an operating profit of roughly about $7 billion. Now, this is not including, let's say, interest from any debt or loans, and it's not including any taxes. This is just purely operating profit. It's not their net profit. However, I think operating profit is a more reliable and consistent number that we can base some multiples on, which leads me to the next thing we're calculating in our napkin math, which is the multiple that we're gonna give this company. Now, when I'm talking about multiple, I'm looking at Tesla's operating profit, let's say a couple years down the road, that's $7 billion per year. And I'm trying to give a multiple off of that in terms of to calculate how much I think that company could be worth at that time. In other words, let's say I was a multi-billionaire and I was wanting to buy a company like Tesla. I would look at their annual profits at some given point and I'll give a multiple off of that to come up with my purchase price for that company. The challenging part of this is two things. Number one is what kind of multiple will I give as an investor to buy a company outright? But number two, what period of time of profit will I be looking for to base that multiple off of? Now, I think there are different scenarios here. For a slow growing company, let's say a company that's kind of stalled out, but let's say has consistent, let's say operating profits, you might actually just look back for their last year's annual profit, and then you'll give a multiple off of that. And for typically, you might give like a 10 multiple for a company, let's say it's pretty stable, that isn't really growing much, but gives consistent profits year over year. Obviously, there's a lot of room for variation, but I'm just using 10 as an example. Now, there's another scenario where you might actually look at the company's profit going forward for the next year, because let's say the company is growing, let's say not at a fantastical rate of like 30, 40%, maybe they're growing, let's say 5 or 10% per year. And to give kind of a multiple off of their past isn't very accurate. So you look at their upcoming year and you might give a multiple. And because they're growing, let's say 5 or 10% per year, you're going to give a higher multiple than a 10 multiple for that company. So let's say you might give a 15 or even 20 multiple for a company. So let's say for a company that's growing, let's say 5, 10% or 15%, you know, it all varies on also how guaranteed that growth and what the longevity, right, of that company could be. But let's say you give a 20 multiple or so, or 25 multiple off of next year's, let's say, profits or so. Now there's another scenario where you kind of want to go a little bit further out. And these are for companies that are growing kind of faster than just like a 10 or 15% per year mark. These companies are growing 20, 25, 30%, or even 40%. You need to go, I think, at least a couple years out as far as the visibility will let you go. And then you can give a multiple off of those visible numbers, let's say a few years out. In Tesla's case, because of the growth rate being so high, it kind of fits into that last category. We need to go a couple years out and we need to give a decent multiple, meaning it can't just be like a 10 times multiple for a couple years out, because I think giving like a 10 time multiple for their operating profits, let's say a year or two out, I think is just way too low. I mean, we're looking at companies, let's say, that don't grow at all, right? And just are stable, that get, let's say it's a 10 time multiple. So for a company that's growing 30, 40, even 50% year over year, you're gonna give them a premium in terms of the multiple that you're gonna give. Let's say in a year and a half or 2 years, I think investors would give Tesla probably like a 30 time multiple or so based on the operating profit, let's say for the year going forward. So in late 2021, I think investors could give a 30 time multiple based on the 2022 projected operating profits. I think at that time, let's say in late 2021, I think it's possible, you know, investors could be exuberant and very excited. They could go up to 40 times, right? The multiple of operating profits for 2022. But also it's possible, let's say there's a recession, or let's say mood is very pessimistic. Let's say Tesla has had some hiccups. In that case, I think it could go down to a multiple of 20 based upon their projected, let's say 2022 operating profits. So we do have kind of a wide range here, and there's a lot of variations, a lot of factors involved. But when we're doing napkin math, we want to keep it simple here. So we want to take, let's say, a 30 time multiple, we'll times that by the $7 billion or so operating profit that we are forecasting, and we get a market cap valuation of about $210 billion. In an exuberant market, let's say it goes up to 40 times multiple, times that by the $7 billion operating profit we forecasted, let's say in a year and a half or so, and then we have a $280 billion market cap. Now in a down market, or in more of a pessimistic view toward Tesla, at a 20 multiple times that by $7 billion operating profit, we're looking at a market cap of about $140 billion. So that's the mindset I'm expecting in late 2021. In other words, I'm getting into the mind of the big money investors. I'm getting specifically into their mind that they're going to have actually at the end of 2021 or so. I'm expecting at the end of 2021 for them to look at Tesla, give a 30 time multiple based upon, let's say, a $7 billion operating profit, getting a $210 billion, let's say, market cap valuation. But it could go higher and it could go lower in that case. So now we got some market cap valuations, let's say for a couple years down the road. Now what we want to do is we want to say, what do we value the company right now? And the way we do that is we give a lower multiple based upon, right, the projected operating profits a couple years down the road. The reason we do that is because nothing is guaranteed. There's always risk, right? There's execution risk, there's recession risk, there's so many risks, right? So while we might give a 30 multiple in late 2021, let's say for 2022 operating profits, in 2020, we're not gonna give that same 30 multiple for $7 billion projected operating profits. Rather, we're giving a lower multiple. So let's say we wanna give a 20 multiple right now. So in that case, you take the 20 multiple, times it by the $7 billion in projected operating profits in 2022, and we got kind of a current market cap valuation of $140 billion. So this could be higher or this could be lower. A lot of it depends on all of the numbers and the multiples that you give at different times. However, if you look at today's stock price, it's actually right around $140 billion. So what does this mean? What it means is, based off of simple napkin math, I've taken like projected kind of profits going forward a couple years, and I've kind of discounted, let's say, the multiple going now, and I can come up with a reasonable market cap that I think Tesla could be worth right now. And that actually matches, right, the current valuation. And that's why I think I'm actually comfortable with the current valuation of Tesla. I mean, it could go lower because obviously there could be a lot of recession. There's lots of coronavirus risk. Coronavirus could be a lot worse than we think. It could impact the global economy. It could impact, let's say, suppliers. There's many, many different scenarios. And let's say the mood around the whole stock market or even growth stocks could sour a bit, and we could see the multiple that investors give go lower, or they could just start looking to the next year, and that would actually impact their market cap projections as well. As you can see, there's a lot of rough edges when using napkin math, but that's actually okay because you want to kind of combine the quantitative and the qualitative together to come up with certain projections that have some visibility, meaning these are scenarios that you think they're 80 to 90% likely, let's say, within the next few years. You also notice a few things. I've been conservative, but I've also been optimistic in different factors. For example, I've been quite optimistic, let's say, in my projections in terms of the number of vehicles that Tesla is going to be able to produce and sell over time. However, I'm also being conservative in some things. I'm leaving out some areas of Tesla's business. For example, I'm not including Tesla's energy division, and I'm not including actually Tesla's robotaxi rollout. And the big reason is I just don't see the clear visibility over the next 2 years in terms of Tesla's ramp of the robotaxi and the revenue that they're going to receive for that. Because the visibility isn't there, I'm not going to include it in my napkin math at this time. However, let's say in a year or two, the visibility increases, and then I'm going to start adding those numbers into napkin math calculations. Now, if you're able to develop kind of this napkin math valuation skill, it's going to be a huge benefit to you as an investor. In fact, I think it's one of the most important skills to have. It's actually kind of a superpower. You can evaluate a company, get to know it so well, get to know their revenue, their growth, get to know their customers, etc. And then you can come up with simple projections with their revenue and their margin, their operating profits, give it a certain multiple, and then you can calculate what you think their market cap might be going forward. If you want another example of this, take a look at my last video, which is called How to Find a 10x Investment, Peloton in 2020. I look at Peloton as a case study, and I kind of go through the whole business model, and I kind of show a napkin math model of how I'm calculating revenues and margin and profit, and even going forward 5 or 6 years down the road. Now with Peloton, I decided to go 5 or 6 years down the road because I'm looking at more of the bigger picture. If this company really can do a 10x valuation within 5 to 10 years. So there are different time frames for projections that you could use for different purposes. Several weeks ago, I did a video on how to time stock purchases for 10x gains. That's a fantastic video. I encourage you to check it out. And in that video, I kind of share a framework of how to get into a company that you think might do a 10x, let's say, in 5 or 10 years. And one of those criteria is I want to get in at a point where I think the company can actually double its valuation within 2 years or so. Let's say, for example, a company has a market valuation of $10 billion. Right? I want to have some clear and probable projections that within 2 years, this company is going to be worth at least $20 billion in order for me to have the confidence to jump into that stock. And actually, I want to have actually more longer term projections, also 5 years or more out, where I can see this company have a clear and probable path to a 10x valuation. So these two things work together. Having projections that say 5, 6, 7, 8 years out that show a clear and probable path to a 10x valuation gain, but also looking at projections that say a couple years out, so you can evaluate kind of the current market cap, whether it's a good deal or not. So for example, let's say you found a potential 10x investment, but let's say the market cap is at $20 billion. But when you do the napkin math, you actually see in 2 years, you think the valuation is going to be at $20 billion. You don't see like much of an increase. And so in that case, it might not be the best time, right, to enter a stock like that. Anyways, I want to encourage you to develop your own skills, to learn how to value a company, let's say now, but also going forward a few years, but also several years down the road. This is by no means an easy skill to develop because it's actually like a conglomeration or a mesh of many, many different skills kind of put together. There's a heavy reliance on kind of really understanding numbers in its core essence, but also there's a heavy reliance on understanding the product and management, how business works as well. There's a lot involved in terms of understanding growth, like when does growth taper out or when does it continue? How do products like really gain market share or go mainstream? Also, there's a connection to understand market sentiment, to understand the mind and the thinking of big money, how they value companies as well. Anyways, I hope to share a lot more videos on this topic, how to value a company, because I think it's one of the most most central important skills in terms of being a great investor. And also, I want to encourage you not to rely, let's say, on my sample numbers of Tesla, because they're going to change over time. The unit numbers will change, the margins will change, but also the sentiment and the attitudes toward the company will change. And my multiple that I give the company over time will change as well. All that to say, my projections are just kind of examples. They're there to help you to see what kind of skills are involved in terms of valuing a growth company going forward. If you haven't subscribed to my channel, I encourage you to do so. We're looking at investment topics from a deeper angle, actually from many, many different angles. And we're trying to gain like these really important and timeless skills in terms of investing, so we can get closer to what I think is the true essence or even the true potential of investing. Please like this video, but in the comment section, please post your questions about this video, how to value a company going forward. I'm gonna read all the questions. I'm gonna incorporate them in future videos. Now, if there are some decent questions, I'm gonna add a part two or maybe part three and four to this series of how to do kind of napkin math valuation for companies, especially growth companies going forward. Anyways, I hope you've liked this video and we'll see you in the next video. Thanks.